I was waiting for Damon's background noise that we're sure to get.
That's how you know he's there.
Good thing.
And there it is.
There it is. That's the noise we all know and love.
It's like logging into the internet back in the 90s.
That's his version of the...
Right. Bang, bang.
You have mail.
What's up, Houdat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Doom Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating right now is a zero, but I am drinking one of my favorite Abita beers ever. Only comes around time of year. It is the Mardi Gras Bock. And I swear, I'm just going to go to the store and buy every case so I can stock up, and it'll last me at least till March. All right, we've now entered the media hype week. When every angle of the Super Bowl, its players, any rumors, gossip, the odds are discussed, every word uttered by Tom Brady is overanalyzed, and everything that everyone says is taken out of context and twisted in order to shape some crazy narrative that every sports writer and entertainment info newscaster wants to make it be in order to capitalize on the biggest stage in sports to create ratings, views, likes, shares, and listens. We welcome you to the one place where you can find some relief from all that media hype and stay down to earth among friends who certainly will not overreact or blow this episode out of proportion just because it's the eve of the Super Bowl. So we welcome you to the Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Super omnipotent, excellent, fantastic, extreme, magnificent, terrific, superb, phantasmagorical episode. Put your seatbelts on, give your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the super show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I thought there was a word in there used twice, but we'll move on. That's okay. That's what makes it super. I'll go with the one. I am drinking a Port Orleans Sean Payton Blonde Ale in honor of our friend Nick NRG. Yeah, finally found it. They didn't have it at the Rouse's Mattery that I frequent. I stopped at the Rouse's today out here. Slidell and found it, so I had to grab it. Actually, pretty tasty.
All right. Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
I'm Jeff Midland, Jeff.
Oh. You're not super?
No, the thing is over.
Well, it was over last week. You should be fine now.
Yeah, well, now I'm just bored.
Nah, there you go. So you're not Midland, you're just bored.
Yeah.
Alright, but your B team is in the Super Bowl. You should be happy.
Well, I just like to see, I like to see people do well.
So, yeah, and we'll get to that probably be the last segment where we talk about the Super Bowl. But first, there was some football this week in the form of the Pro Bowl, which we can, I don't know if you guys watched or not, any of the activities or the game itself, but let's do a quick Pro Bowl recap.
I didn't watch 1 second of it.
I'm liking the second year now that they're doing the little activity challenge, kind of obstacle.
So I did see some of Michael Thomas winning the catch. Competition he was. I did catch some of that.
Yeah, but you caught the catch competition?
Yes, I caught it with two hands. Only takes Michael Thomas one.
That's right. That and then the NFC dominated on the little obstacle course challenge because they had Kamara. Clearly. But the game itself, I think, I don't know what it is. I tweeted out there that I kind of actually enjoyed the game. I watched it. Maybe it's because nothing else was going on, so just watched the game. But I think, is it me, or do you think like the players and the whoever is involved, it's kind of embraced the fact that we're not trying. So let's quit pretending like we are at this point. I mean, like, you had the point where, like, if a guy was, you know, we were playing two-hand touch. Like, the refs would even blow the play dead if a running back just kind of stopped trying. And even the defense kind of like, all right, yeah, we'll pretend like you were tackled. We're good.
Yeah, I mean, but that's been the Pro Bowl for a while. I mean, you know, no one wants to get out there and risk an injury.
Right. I wouldn't want them to, especially with so many
safeties. Right, no, no doubt. No doubt. And, yeah, so, I mean, the light tackling and stuff, I mean, that's always been the Pro Bowl. And yeah, I mean, I think that was why it was a lot some more fun this year, because we had lots of Saints.
Right. And it looked like they were having a blast.
Mm-hmm. They really did.
Even Sean Payton. I thought you didn't see any of it. Oh, you sure have seen a lot.
I didn't see any of the game.
He's about leading up to it.
Right. I saw the pictures of them, you know, Ingram and Breeze hugging each other. Ingram looked like he's having fun. Sean Payton trying to take Adam Thielen's jersey. Locker room.
Yeah.
They were just having fun with it. You know, we really missed the boat on this, considering that the Pro Bowl was in Orlando at Disney World. I mean, what were we thinking not sending me down there?
Right? You got the frequent 100 miles to get there, too.
I mean, shit. It's a perfect opportunity for me to care about the Pro Bowl. Oh, right. I'm in Disney World, too? Oh, sure.
And the Breeze Boys, I'm sure, who hasn't seen this now? By now, the Breeze Boys acting up on the sideline, wrestling each other, actually getting on the field on accident while Breeze is being interviewed. And then he had to take a knee and give his son a good old what for.
even the announcers were like, yeah, they should have called a flag. Too many men on the field right there, Breeze.
We got a Breeze on the field. And they interviewed, who's the oldest one?
Balin.
They interviewed him, and I gotta tell you what, he must have been taking the same classes that Drew takes with his public speaking. Kid was a good interview. Almost better than Drew.
But again, you know, they weren't doing all the, if they were doing the same challenges they were doing now back then in Hawaii, you wouldn't notice any difference.
They used to do that back in the day. That was always the...
Well, but they did the part, they know? Had like sand, something in that running back... tore his knee up.
They had sand flag football.
Yeah, and the guy tore his knee. Like,
but they always did the other challenges like they're doing now, the obstacle courses and the accuracy of the quarterback throwing.
Yeah, but I don't think they did that.
Yes,
there was kind of different skills challenge. It wasn't coordinated with the Pro Bowl. At least they didn't televise it as such.
Well, no.
I do remember the skills challenge coming on ESPN.
Right. ESPN did it, and, you know.
But it wasn't connected with the Pro Bowl, though.
But, yes, they were all in Hawaii. That's why they were all together. Yes, it was.
It doesn't make sense they wouldn't be. But
yeah.
I just remember being on it not the week of the Pro Bowl. It was on, like, some other week of the year.
They probably pre-taped it then and then just showed it later on.
No. Maybe.
So.
Sorry, I can't say the Pro Bowl is on my list of things I'm an expert at.
That's going to take us into our next segment. Let's go into Look at Him Tweets. We did get a few tweets to talk about one of Neil's tweets that came through. It says, how much do you think we're going to pay Breeze? And is it going to be for one or two seasons?
Well, it's definitely going to be for multiple seasons so they can help spread out his bonus. I mean,
well, now Breeze has said that he didn't want to do a multi-year option anymore. You know.
Well, but they've got... The...
Okay, I'm like, but Breeze has said he doesn't want to do a multi-year option. Do you think that's changed? That's all I'm asking.
Well, maybe.
You know, I know what the team wants to do, but Drew doesn't seem to give a shit.
Maybe when we were 7-9, that's more likely. But now that he sees the young core, you know, maybe he wants a few more years. But I know the Saints need to do it because they still have some of his other money from the last deal that's going to they need to spread out, so they have to do multiple years. I mean, I would imagine the average is going to be in the 22 to 25 per year range.
No, that's about right. You know,
I mean, that's
plus his $8 million that he $8 million a year that he already cost us.
Well, and that's why it's going to be for more years.
Right.
So they can spread that shit out, and you know, hopefully, we'll probably have one shit year where it all gets dump loaded, but who gives a fuck? But in terms of average per year, that's the number I would look at. That seems
they're going to pay him between 22 and 25, you're right. And his cap number will be between 30 at least, and 30.
I mean, the first year won't be as bad, but I'm sure it'll shoot up. But you know what? The salary cap keeps going up, so I mean, that's fine. We should be able to absorb it, you know, for the next few years, because you've got all these guys still on rookie deals for the next 3 years. You know, once you start have to sign in some of these guys, you know, then it might get a little sticky, but we'll worry about that later. That's what the Saints do.
Well, that's also what brought us a 3-7-9 seasons. You know.
Among bad personnel decisions.
Are we going to get contract off-season Breeze who goes into the, you know, for all the time that he's under contract, it's all about team, it's all about what's best for the team, and then all of a sudden contract Breeze comes out and he's like, you know, I don't have to play football for you guys unless I get what I want.
No.
I think they're going to get it done.
No, not this time. Like I said last week, I mean, he's too old to go anywhere else. He's not going anywhere else and learning another system. He's not Peyton Manning that went to Denver and brought the Peyton Manning system. You know, that's not who he is. And obviously with what just happened this year, I mean, we are his best bet for a Super Bowl title. Of anybody out there, we are his best bet.
Yeah, it's in his best interest to get it done so we can get the ball rolling to next year.
No, but he can't go anywhere
else. We're going to have a really great shot over the next couple of years.
He can't go anywhere else and have the same shot. He can't go to Houston don't need him now, but he can't go to Denver, can't go to Jacksonville, and have any better of a shot. Because again, he'd have to be learning. He'd have to learn a new system.
All right. Next one comes in from Avery Pelwicki. Hypothetical thinking here. Would you trade Oakland or San Fran, our 27th, third, and next year's first, to trade up to get Mayfield? Basically, would you sell everything to get Mayfield?
No, why?
Well, we'll trade what? What are we offering?
Oakland or San Francisco.
This year's first, next year's first, and the third, because we don't have a second. No, that would be an awful decision. We made so many strides this year, and then you would just chop all that off and not be able to build on it. That would be awful. As much as I might like Mayfield.
After you just finished talking about signing Breeze for two more years. I mean, not that he wouldn't be, you know.
Like, well, and not that we don't need his replacement, but I mean, you know, it's not worth it. Like, if Mayfield happened to fall to you at 27, okay, yeah, maybe I'd take a look at him. But he's going to be gone probably in the top 15, so it's
he'll
not worth
it. He'll be gone in the top 10.
Yeah, it's not worth giving up. I mean, if anything, I think the Saints ought to, if possible, trade down to get a couple, you know, because we don't have a second-round pick. And at 27, if somebody wants to jump up and grab a guy, I'd trade down and grab a couple more picks, grab a couple second-round picks.
Well, you're not going to get multiple second-round picks.
Well, get a second and a sixth or something. I don't know.
Right. You know. It all depends on who they think is out there. I mean, you know, you can't say that until, you know, see who's on the board. Yeah. All right, you like the Mayfield thing, if what you said. All right, yeah, trade into the top 10 would be too expensive. But if he drops to 15...
But it's still not worth giving up.
Right. Well, I mean...
I don't know.
It's a risk because you don't know what any of these rookies are going to do. I mean, yes, it's all a risk, you know.
Well, but it's not that. I think that's a poor use of draft picks that we can win with Breeze and the core we have now. Let's add to that, not get a quarterback that's going to sit for 3 years.
Right.
To me, that's where the
and no quarterback is guaranteed either to work out. I mean, so you're right. You're going to throw a crapshoot here.
Yes,
but I'm not even thinking about.
I know.
Right. It is. Even if you pick a defensive you know, a linebacker. It's
right.
It's still a crapshoot. But I think
a crapshoot on a linebacker than selling out completely for a quarterback, which is if you miss on a linebacker, it's not that big of a deal. You miss on a quarterback, you're pretty much Cleveland.
But it's also that's not an immediate need right now.
That too.
I mean, that's more where I'm lined. Like, look, I like Mayfield as a Breed successor, but trading away shit to get him? We need a linebacker. We need a defensive end. We might need an offensive. You know, we need other position. We need a receiver, a tight end. Like, we need positions. I'd rather do that than waste picks to trade up to grab a quarterback that's not even going to play.
So speaking of that, Big Easy Mafia UK, you know, from the UK Saints podcast says, do we address the tight end and wide receiver issues, specifically your third down receiver, you know, kind of like problems that we had, in the free agency or the draft? And I think I'll throw in linebacker there. I mean, I think, Jason, I mean, you bring up a good point. Like the areas of needs, it's tight end, linebacker, and receiver, right? That's your 1, 2, 3.
And defensive end opposite Jordan, because we don't know what Okafor is.
Right.
You know.
And offensive lineman, because I don't think we're going to keep Calamente. Mm-hmm. And, God, look, without him this year, you know, what would it have been like? I mean, there really isn't a position that you don't need to address.
Right.
I mean, running back.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, like you could even use another corner. I mean, you could use a safety. You lose Vaccaro. You're going to need another safety.
Yeah. Oh, you can definitely.
So you take best available.
unless it's a quarterback. No, but even a quarterback, I see Sean Payton taking him.
He's done it before.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, just for the simple fact that Breeze is, you know, 2 years? 3, maybe?
I mean, I know at some point we're going to have to take a quarterback, but yeah. I don't know. For now, I'd like to.
So, again, it depends on who falls to you, what you think of them.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's that's looking into the future for your franchise, you know? And, again, like I said, it's all a crapshoot. No shit. That's why it's called the draft, you know? You don't know who's going to do what.
I would guess.
I mean, Tom Brady was taken in the 6th round.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy, I'd like to find a Tom Brady in the 6th round.
I mean, I would think tight end would more than likely be addressed in the draft.
All right.
I had a guess. Because, I mean, you know, you could find, former basketball player, he's 6'5", and, you know, all this kind of shit. You can grab him in the 3rd, 4th, 5th round and develop him.
Done it before.
Just a guess.
All right, and James Tabor, would you guys trade Pete and a 3rd for Wagner? Rumored
still need our offensive lineman.
They'd be willing to move on. He's eating up $10 million in cap. Also, Seattle has only 1 pick in the first 3 rounds.
We kind of need to keep our offensive linemen, especially if we're losing Calamente.
We need more, not less offensive linemen.
Yeah.
I'm not trading away offensive linemen, or then we're in the same boat Seattle was. Well, they traded us.
Well, is that it? A little while later,
we got another
tweet from Carl Hawk saying, hell no, Pete is invaluable. We can make do with the linebackers we got, but we need Pete on that line, especially for when Armstead inevitably goes down.
Exactly. Right. If he just said Armstead instead of Pete, maybe Elizabeth. I mean, because
as good as Armstead is, I don't know that he ever played a full season, has he?
No. No, God bless him. But you never know. That might be the year he turns it around. You know? It happens.
It's unfortunate. Then we got a tweet from Greenbaum. Says, when is your first mock draft come out, guys? Aha. But seriously, I read an article where a player said that Kuiper takes bribes from agents to have players put higher on his mock drafts. Thoughts, true or false? And congrats again to Ben Watson, which is an editor's note here. I said last week with conviction that Ben Watson won the Walter Payton Man of the Year. He was named as a finalist. The winner wasn't announced.
Classic Jeff.
And neither of you corrected me. You didn't know.
Well, we probably weren't listening to you.
Right.
We probably weren't listening to you.
Sorry, I don't have that on tap, who the winner of
just
the
Walter Payton Man of the Year. Just how prestigious... How much you value the award? Anyway, I don't know if I'm sure Mel Kiper's not the only one who takes bribes from agents to move players higher up on his mock draft in order to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much an NFL team listens to Mel Kiper.
or any of those guys, right? I mean, at the end
Right, the talking heads. I'm not sure how much Mel Kiper moves the draft board, you know?
No, it's only for people who are starved for football who need something and who are so desperate that they have to read some idiot talk about where a player might go and none of the shit ends up right.
Or
and
listen to three fools on the internet. I mean,
who does
that? What kind of idiots are those?
Shit. Guys recording in their wife's basement. I was going to say mom's basement, but two of us are, well, shit, only one of us are married. Never mind. Damon in his mom's basement.
I'm in my own room, my own house here. So,
so you're in your own basement.
We don't. None of us actually have a basement either. By the way, if you had a basement, it'd be underwater.
Well, of course, we live in the South.
Right.
It's getting to be mock draft season when all the bullshit starts flying. Don't get sucked into it, people.
Don't.
Oh, they're already doing it. A fucking idiot. Right after the fucking St. Louis first mock draft. I like that. First mock draft. First.
And three rounds. It's like, okay, because you know what all these teams are going to... You know how it's all going to fall out.
I think Damon actually had the first mock draft, which was the day after the draft last year, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. Version 0.5.
We're already, working on the 2021 mock draft, guy. Come on, keep up.
Okay, sorry.
Here's my Saints mock draft. Whenever we pick highest rated guy from Ohio State...
Yeah, right. There you go.
Ohio State, boom, I want him. That's so
that's true.
That's it. It's simple. You know, let's go take a lunch now.
That is true. All right. And now our next segment. Let's actually throw in a random Pelican plug for the second week in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw, too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty fall trying to stick with the prehistoric passenger.
Oh, boy.
Just after Jason was so excited last week, saying they had finally put it together.
Yep.
We did. Fuck, I was at the game Friday. It was the best game of the season.
It was pretty awesome. It was the first
until the last one. Until the last 8 seconds. Yeah, thanks, Jeff. That was the first game all year Jeff watched, and look what happened.
Classic Jeff.
Oh, fuck, man. Houston with the second best record in the West. We come in, we beat them. Crowd's fired up. Team's fired up. They finally started to turn the corner. And just the worst of the worst. I mean, it's fucked, man.
Could have been worse. Could have been Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I mean, either one, yeah. 1A and 1B. It's just
it's about equal.
It's
well,
it's
anyway,
fucked, man.
Tell those who don't know. I mean, we just saying it's fucked. Tell them what.
Well, I mean, everybody knows. With 8 seconds to go, Cousins is shooting a free throw. We're up. He misses the free throw. Goes to a hustle play. Tries to tip his own miss, and it's a non-contact. Just tears his Achilles. Boom. Done. Done for the season. Ugh. Done for the fuck. Just like that.
Given we had gotten to the playoff hunt, and then
we were in the we were currently in the sixth slot and starting to turn it around. And I mean, God, we could have done some damage. And everything is just thrown, and it's so fucking disgusting, man. He had worked so hard. You know, we were finally making it work just for some bullshit like that to happen.
I mean, when you. Coming off of the Saints season where 22 guys are injured, you know, we've had the conversation multiple times about the strength and conditioning. We make the jokes about Oshner, but just generally, the strength and conditioning of this organization, and by this organization, we mean the one that the Saints and Pelicans, both under that umbrella, there has to be a reason beyond just sheer bad your players are susceptible to injury as much as they are.
No, this is just a stupid play. I mean, this is just...
torn Achilles is a freak injury. Now
his
usage, because the Pelicans had three guys who were in the top 10 in minutes played in the NBA. You know, Holiday, Davis, and Cousins. So maybe... there was some fatigue there. I mean, we had that double overtime game against the Bulls earlier in the week where Cousins played like 50 minutes.
Jeez.
So, I mean, that could have come into play somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like ruptured Achilles on a non-contact is just like, it's kind of fluke. Just like, what the fuck did we do to deserve this? I mean, the basketball organization is definitely cursed. I mean, it's fucked. And Cousins is a free agent. Dumbass Fletcher Mackles thinking we ought to trade him, which is just the dumbest thing ever. It's, because they were planning to offer him like a 5-year, you know, max $170 million or whatever. And he was going to stick it out. And I think they could have made it. They could have made it work. Now they still can make it work, but I mean, a ruptured Achilles injury. I mean, he's never going to be the same.
Mm.
I mean, he's only 7, but he's got 200. He's carrying 260, 270 pounds on him. More than likely, he's not going to be the same. Now he could still be a good player.
Yeah, I don't know.
Achilles injuries, dude. I mean, it's gonna have some kind of effect. It's just so disappointing, man. They were starting to turn the corner. Now that football season's over, the fans were starting to get behind him again and believe in him. And just to have that happen, like, I feel awful for him. I mean, he's got this awful, you know, this reputation of being a malcontent, whatever. But I mean, he's a hard worker. He seems to be a good guy.
I've never noticed anything he did here. I mean,
well, right, nothing here. I mean, he's really enjoyed.
I remember he had problems with management. In his previous stop.
And, I mean, he gets a lot of technicals. He's a very emotional player.
Yeah.
But it's just, it fucking sucks, man. It really took the wind out of the sails this year. I mean, maybe they can still make the playoffs. I don't know that they can hang on to the 6th seed. They might get 7th or 8th, but then you're stuck going against the Warriors and the Rockets, and they're just going to get destroyed. So, I mean, I hate to give up on the season, but I mean, you can't just replace 25 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 assists. Like, it's just not going to happen. It was funny. I went to the game the other night, and Osh actually got some minutes. And whenever he does anything, the crowd erupts and goes nuts. He's gone from the most hated player to just everybody cheers when he does something productive. But God, it's amazing we're paying him like $12 million. It really is. Like, what the fuck was Dell thinking? I mean, that contract alone should have got Dell fired. But here we are. It was looking so promising, and, you know, it was giving us something to look forward to after the way the Saints season ended.
Nope. Thank you.
All right. So speaking of, here's a quick...
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
Is it true that they were cleaning out the drainage system or something, and they found, like, 9 tons of Mardi Gras beads?
It's not 9 tons, but yes, they found a shit ton of Mardi Gras beads in the catch basins.
Yeah.
I mean, that surprises him.
Right. I mean, I'm sorry.
I assumed that we figured that as we have floats throwing debris off of them in the streets, that some of it would wind up in the catch basins.
Well, what makes it newsworthy is the fact that, right, like you said, Damon, you expect that would be a thing. So how come we've never cleaned it out?
Right. Why haven't we been on top of it?
Especially with all the drainage problems with the city.
Right. Why hadn't we been on top of that? I assume we just cleaned the basins out
every year.
Periodically, just for maintenance.
Right.
That would require a competent government. That's something that we don't have.
Or even some of the Mardi Gras crews doing it just so they can recycle and throw their beads.
Yeah, right.
Again. Could you imagine catching those beads next year? Mm-hmm. Where would you find these? Oh, we got them out the sewer last year. I know it's not the sewer, but it's funnier that way.
But, I mean, again, you really can't be surprised with all the bullshit that happens down here and the incompetency that runs around. Can't be surprised. No.
And then Scott sent me an article that they said they were going to use it, all those beads, to prevent the coastal erosion. They're going to dump them off the edge of the...
Yeah. Yeah, why the fuck not? May as well use it for something.
Yeah. It was on neutralgroundnews.com. Which is like, I guess.
Oh,
the Onion for New Orleans or something.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't find that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the okra.
Right? that would be good.
Yeah, right?
It says, according to PAO Captain Maitland Booker for the BEADS Offshore Ocean Barrier Sustainment Program, or BOOBS for short, B-O-O-B. BEADS Offshore. Anyway, the funny thing is when he first texted it to me and I didn't read the article and I was like, actually, you know what? That's a good idea. If they were obviously in the drainage system, why don't we use them for to prevent coastal erosion? And he's like, no, click through and read the article.
Yeah. No, because we don't want to throw any more plastic into the ocean.
Yeah, right.
Can we please stop? We please stop doing that.
Anyway, I guess we can't delay it any longer, and we do have to talk about the biggest topic facing American sports today, and maybe all of sports in the world.
Tiger Woods!
No, I'm talking about the Olympics starting next week. Nope. Actually, it's the Super Bowl preview.
I saw somebody tweet today, like, I don't think it's Radio Row, but there was some setup, and it was the fucking Mall of America food court.
No.
At the Mall of America. I mean, they, you know, there's... They're not equipped to host something like this. They built a new stadium, and that's why they're getting it. And it's like 4 degrees today. Like, have fun up there.
Holy shit!
Yeah,
four.
Yeah, four.
I got to 20s here. When I got to 18 a couple weeks ago, that holy fuck, four.
Yeah, right.
What the fuck you do at four? I mean, we were stopped at 18. Everything shut down. We just quit. Like you said, they built a new stadium, and that's what the NFL does to reward you. I get it.
And you know, that's not a new thing. Do you know that when New Orleans built the Superdome, we hosted the Super Bowl way back when the Superdome was supposed to be finished, but it wasn't finished on time, and they ended up playing that game in Tulane Stadium instead.
Well, no, but
it was supposed to be a reward for hosting for building the Superdome to have. I mean, this is not new.
Okay, but also, this is a great spot to have a Super Bowl.
Well, yes, but it's... I mean, we can't be mad. I mean, you build a stadium, you get a Super Bowl. That's how it works. The areas don't go back.
And they won't.
Stupid cities like this. You owe them a Super Bowl. That's part of the deal. We get it. We signed up for that. We were one of the first to do it.
I mean, I guess since I'm not actually going there, I mean, what do I care?
Right.
Okay, I mean...
Well, you care because we could have hosted...
Well, right. I care because the Super Bowl should always be in a southern city, right, so we can have it every.
But yeah, to your point, okay. They hosted Super Bowl in January of '75. Okay, and maybe the dome was because the dome opened in '75. But we had hosted Tulane Stadium had hosted two Super Bowls before that.
Yes.
You know, so I don't know. I don't know if it was a. I don't know. It wasn't necessarily a reward for building a new stadium. I mean, we had already had two. Minnesota, I don't know how many they've had. You know, maybe one when they first did the Metrodome and this one, you know.
I don't know. I'd say this is probably Minnesota's first Super Bowl. Yes.
I see the point you're making, Damon. And yes, New Orleans was a city that would be hosting Super Bowls no matter what. But you know that particular year was a grand opening of the Superdome type of the plan. That was the plan.
How do you know? Did you?
I was there.
Right. Oh, okay.
Right. The Metrodome hosted one Super Bowl, the Redskins and the Bills.
Ah, okay.
On January 26th of 1992.
Oh, that was the Bills' second. What would be a four game?
Yeah, that was the Mark Rippon year where all of a sudden Mark Rippon became this All Pro, yeah,
right? And then never heard or seen from again.
Right.
You'll no look pass.
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly in the South. The Silverdome in Michigan had Super Bowl 16. But, I mean, all the other ones are Miami, Pasadena, New Orleans.
Right, right. I mean,
that's what it used to be.
Rewarding cities for building stadiums. Like you said, I'm not saying they didn't do it in the past or, you know, before this, but that really started taking off in the 90s when all the owners wanted new, you know, cities to build them new stadiums.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Metrodome, you had the Georgia Dome. Well, no, then it was Georgia Dome again. No, it was mostly still the South. I mean, Pasadena, Miami, Tempe, New Orleans, San Diego. Manny. So, you know,
well, again, that was a new stadium.
Sun Devil Stadium? I don't think so.
It was new at one time.
Okay.
Yeah, well, that stadium, yeah, it was built
But at least it was a moderate climate. Like, I can get behind that.
Right, that one didn't feel like a cheap reward, right?
Right. It wasn't MetLife in New Jersey or Minnesota or, I don't know. I mean, at least the game's indoors. You should get a good game, yeah. Crisp game.
All right, so about that game.
Well, but it's not just about the game being indoors. It's not just about the game, but it's, I mean, we experienced in 2012 when we hosted our last Super Bowl. You know, it's a lot of logistics, a lot of people coming into town trying to, you know.
Do you have enough hotel rooms?
Right. I mean, and we, but again, but with the weather, when you're talking about the weather, you know. At 4 degrees, I don't know. I mean, it would seem hard to get around. I guess it's like what you said. I mean, but perhaps they're built for it and they're prepared for it, so they know how to deal with it, undoubtedly. But you don't want to go to a Super, you know, let's say hypothetically.
It's going to be an indoor Super Bowl is what it's going to be.
Let's say the Saints were in it. We wanted to go. I mean, is that what we want to spend a week in 4 degree weather? You know, I mean,
you would stay indoors.
We'd be inside.
Yeah,
from indoor place to indoor place. There's no outside stuff, which is actually fine because you can't drink outside in Minnesota, even if it was a nice, pretty day. You can't take your beer with you. There's no such thing as cups. There's no such drink. You know what I mean? That's a New Orleans thing that it's better for them because we wouldn't be bitching and complaining. Like we do everywhere else we go. Fuck, you don't let me drink.
What do you mean I can't walk outside? I'm not driving anywhere.
Right?
I still can't get over that. I mean, I remember the first time that I really recalled that, going outside. The guy's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I don't know. I'm not driving anywhere. I'm on vacation.
I don't see anything wrong with what I'm doing.
I just want to go walk down the street with a beer. Why can't I do that? That makes no sense.
What are you, from New Orleans or something? Yes. How'd you know? But again, there is a game to be played, and I don't know, like we did Pick'ems last week, but without it being a Pick'emsy type thing, how do you think this game's going to go? I mean, is this going to be like New England just kind of cakewalk, or has Philly finally earned your respect?
Well, you know, I was listening to a Simmons podcast today, and Cousin Sal mentioned that the Patriots have never scored a first quarter touchdown in any of their Super Bowls.
Or a touchdown or a point?
A touchdown.
So they have scored points, though.
Maybe. I mean, I guess they kicked the field goal, but they haven't scored any touchdowns in the first quarter.
Okay.
A lot of their Super Bowls, the first half's been kind of boring. The second half has been pretty wild. I mean, the last one, the one against the Panthers, crazy second half. They've never run away with the Eagles, right?
I mean...
Hey, boy.
They've never run away with one.
No, there's no blowouts.
No, I think their biggest victory came against Atlanta last year. Everything else was either a loss or a four-point victory.
They lost, 3-point loss, 3-point win, 3-point win, 3-point win. Yeah, they're all close.
Right. That's why I took the points last week in the Eagles.
And that's why I didn't.
Okay. Saying law of averages.
Shit, it's got to happen at some point or the other.
Well, they do. Okay, that's a good. Yeah, sure. Sooner or later, they're gonna.
Right. Well, I guess if you look at it, they're trending in the upper direction. I mean, their last two, there were a lot of 3-point wins, but then they beat Seattle by 4, and then they beat Atlanta by 6. So you figure trending upward, right?
So they'll win this one by 8.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an increase.
That would be something. No, look, I mean, it's New England. It's just what they do. It's, it's going to be a blowout. No, I think it'll be a good Super Bowl game. Like we just talked about. I mean, you know, people bitch about, the 85 Bears, 55-10 or whatever that was, it'll be a good Super Bowl to watch. If you're a football fan, it'll be fun to watch. The end won't be, known until deep into the fourth quarter, I predict.
That's why the NFL keeps allowing the Patriots to get into that game, because they're good at executing the plan of keeping it dramatic to the end.
Right.
Some teams ruin it and just do that. So, you know, as long as you follow the script, you'll keep coming back.
Again, you asked, and I said it last week. Look, after the way they beat down Minnesota, Philly earned my respect. I think they had everybody's respect when Carson was the quarterback. And then they lost it when he went down, which is understandable. I mean, you're losing a guy who was a MVP candidate. So, yeah, we all expect there to be drop-off, and it has been. But they're continuing to win. They're continuing to win.
Now, do you think that he should not be a part of the MVP candidate conversation anymore since they've clearly been able to win without him?
Oh, I don't know. No, not necessarily. I mean, his performance, his numbers were up there, you know.
Yeah, but the whole idea of MVP is supposed to be you're the most valuable. Well, how can you really be considered the most valuable when the backup was able to keep the shit going?
You make a point.
Well, but maybe his value was playing so well early on and getting the team to believe in themselves.
Nope.
No, that's a stupid.
I don't know.
Hold on. Yes, there's value in that, but it doesn't make him the most valuable in the league. There are other people who were more valuable to their team.
Alvin Kamara.
Strictly, yeah, because, I mean, you know, without Kamara, we don't have 1,000-yard production from a running back. Oh, wait, no, yeah, we did.
Yeah, we do.
We should have a co-MVP. I mean, they do everything else as a co.
I mean, I would imagine they're going to give it to Brady.
Of course they will.
Really? You think so?
Well, who else are they going to give it to? They're not going to give it to Wentz.
Not Super Bowl MVP. We're talking.
No, I'm right. I'm talking about regular season.
Yeah.
They're going to give it to Brady. I don't know who else. Who else could you possibly give it to? I mean, Antonio Brown missed the last three games, so he's out.
Gurley.
I guess considering what Gurley did the last couple weeks to close the season, Gurley would be probably the closest.
And you are still going with Lattimore deserves defensive rookie of the year. Kamara deserves offensive rookie of the year.
Fuck yes.
And then who gets rookie of the year? One of the two of them, right?
Yeah, undoubtedly.
I mean, it's got to be one of the other. Or do you do, if you're going to give it to, say, Kamara, then you don't give him offensive rookie of the year. He's overall rookie of the year, so maybe an offensive rookie of the year could.
Maybe you give it to, like, Kareem Hunt.
Right.
That could be, spread around the awards. That'll be.
Right.
But getting back to the game, like, I think the Eagles are going to win the game outright.
Really?
Yeah. Look, they're good, and they have a great pass rush, and that's going to get to Brady, I think.
Yeah. That's the only way you're going to do it, right?
Yeah, and you know it's going to happen. It's going to be either fucking P-Rob or Malcolm Jenkins are going to get a big pick. As you say, it's going to be like, ah! I mean, it's coming.
I would rather it be Jenkins because I fucking hate P-Rob.
You hate P-Rob and Damon hates Jenkins.
I hate Jenkins. Why do you hate P-Rob? I mean,
because of how fucking terrible he was when he was here.
Yeah.
And
Jenkins
played good when he was here. Sure, he got lazy and shit, but shit, he gave us something.
I just think
they're
complete enough. They're a complete enough team, and Foles, it's not like he hasn't played in a bunch of games. I mean, I think he can do enough. And dude, if he plays like he did against the Vikings, then
then it's all bets are off.
But how does coaching? How much does coaching play into it?
Well, if it does, Belichick's got that.
Okay, is Belichick just going to stop their run game? What is he going to try to shut down on defense? Foles or Ajayi in the running game?
What would you do?
What would you do? I mean, I don't know what he would do. I mean, but he's done it enough against enough teams that I trust in whatever he decides. You know,
however he decides to do it.
Yeah, whatever direction he goes in, I'm going to say it's probably the right one.
This is Bill Belichick, coach of the New England Patriots. He's won 3 Super Bowls. How? He cheated. He even got caught cheating, and nobody cared. Bill Belichick proved that in America it's okay to cheat, as long as you cheat your way to the top.
All right, well, Philly has coaches too. Now, I know they're not Belichick, but they're still game planning as well. So I think it's going to be a good game.
They're not really coaching the – no, it New England.
Well, look, Nick Saban hasn't won every national championship he's played in. So.
No, and New England hasn't won every Super Bowl they've played
in. That's right. So they are beatable. And the worst thing that can happen for New England is for them to be such the favorite that people are acting like, you know, they're handing them the trophy before the game's even played. That's only going to fuel Philadelphia even
Well, more. But they're not, I mean, but the, yeah, I mean the Lions only 4.5. It's not like they're a 9-point favorite.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a good game. I think the Eagles are a very complete team, and I just think they're going to find a way to win outright.
Right. And then I guess I gotta say, bring up the halftime show with Justin Timberlake. Who's looking forward to that?
I'll be not paying attention. Is Janet Jackson coming back too? Are we gonna have another Nipplegate?
Yeah, this is Justin Timberlake's first Super Bowl since then, right?
Yeah.
Invited back. See, they had to wait till society caught up with that. Now, if you had a Nipplegate, nobody would give a shit. Everybody would be like, yeah, is that all?
Right. It would happen. Oh, selfie.
Right. How far we've regressed as society.
I mean, right? Just because.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So that, and then, you know, we'll probably end up bringing up the commercials next week as well. We'll say over the last few years, the commercials have been so bad that I really don't know why I'm even.
Mm-mm.
Why do I have any expectation anymore?
No, but, I mean, but don't some of them get leaked a little early too?
And that right, kinda, right.
But that also kind of spoils it. Like, I'd rather be surprised. Although I don't know, I'm going to be at a Trey's doing a crawfish boil for the Super Bowl. So, they're not going to have crawfish apparently.
Oh.
Oh, yeah. I didn't check the Facebook message. Apparently, they're not going to have crawfish.
It's going to be a crawfish boil without any crawfish.
We're going to have a shrimp boil instead. But yeah, I mean, they've definitely good. The commercials have definitely been underwhelming the last few years.
I don't know if it's because they're older and
they've run out of ideas. I mean, look at all the TV shows and movies that are getting rebooted now. They have literally run out of ideas.
Well, it's like right. It comes across as desperate or. Yeah, uninspired or unoriginal, and or like, you know, it's the whole thing, like they try too hard. That's what I think it comes off as. Is
but I wonder too.
I gotta put
a dancing
monkey dancing on top of a baby's cage or something. Look at this crazy stupid thing that makes no sense.
I mean, is it possible that we just had a fond commercials back then? And we think they were better than what they really were.
Yeah, that's what I think. We're older now. We've been there, done that, seen it. There's nothing, you know what I mean? Like and being older, like, yeah, we're not as entertained. Like, you wouldn't be as entertained by Ace Ventura today as you would have when we were in high school.
I don't know.
Okay, bad example.
I do like some stupid people.
Einhorn is Finkel. Finkel is Einhorn. Einhorn is a man! Oh my God! Einhorn is a man!
But that's the thing. Like, it's stupid humor, but it's done well. You know, the movie Airplane, what it was, 1970s? Still a fantastic movie today.
1980, but close enough.
The comedy holds up. Was it 1980?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but the you know what I mean? The comedy holds up because it transcends time. It's good comedy. These today, they come off like, again, like, what was that stupid dancing monkey baby thing that they would do? Or, you know, the talking baby from E-Trade that America ate up. Don't get me wrong.
He was cute. Remember him?
The
Frog. Remember the Bud Bowl?
Good. That was good.
You know, the Bud Bowl, the Frog, the...
Yeah, you give me a good nostalgic Clydesdales or something. Or...
I always like the Clydes. No, so basically, it's Budweiser.
So what you're saying is we should just reboot all the old commercials and stuff.
Not necessarily that, but like, just...
Why don't we bring... We should bring back Spuds McKenzie, too.
I don't know. It's just like, don't...
What about the Swedish bikini team? You think we can bring them back, too?
Well, I'd like the new let's recruit some new younger models. Let's not bring the exact women.
No, they should bring back this once.
That would be funny. See, that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We should be advertising people.
I could just picture. I think that's what it is. I could just picture like the people sitting in the room trying to come up with that. Guys, we gotta, you know, we gotta prove we're actually working on a Super Bowl commercial for our product. And then they sit around this room brainstorming what's going to be the idea. And the idiots convince themselves that it's a good idea without actually running it through any kind of like litmus test to say, you know, maybe we should poll a few people to say, is this a funny idea? Is this a good commercial? And then
maybe we should start a podcast about the Saints and call it the Dome Patrol.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a terrible idea.
Right. No, it sounds like it was a great idea, right?
Right. You know what would be good? We love talking about the Saints. I think people would love hearing us talk about the Saints.
Yeah.
Fucking egotistical bastard. Who do you think you are? I think your opinion's better than mine? Any monkey can get on the computer.
Well, there's a couple of thousand people that think it's a good idea.
Right. They clearly have no taste. We should probably stop joking. They might actually be like, God, you know what? They have a good point.
Right, what the fuck?
They have not learned a single thing in the 8 years that I've been listening to this podcast. Except that Jeff's an idiot, Damon's an asshole, and Jason just doesn't give a fuck about anything unless it's his team winning.
Right.
Well, at least we're not charging people for it.
Yeah, that's true.
No, all right. We're not always begging for money.
Oh, God, yeah.
Begging for money.
Right.
Send us a dollar, and we'll send you some holy water.
Act now, and you can get this special audio cassette of our previous season's podcast. Right. The 7 and 9, first time.
The Dome Patrol Classic Collection.
The episode where Adam hung up on Jason and never to return.
For those listeners who are relatively new to the podcast, and this was before I got on. Y'all started in 10.
2010 is when we started.
After the Super Bowl,
right. Y'all started in 10. I joined in 12. But those 2 years with Adam, oh, my God, I loved. Adam was good because he's an asshole.
Just like you know? We were playing one asshole with another asshole.
Yeah, but
bigger asshole.
Adam, but he was a funny asshole.
Right.
No, he wasn't. I mean, again, I can't believe y'all cut out some of the... Y'all probably cut out some of the best parts. I mean, that I don't think y'all ever left in him hanging up.
For those of you who give $50, you'll get the special I'm Eating Fish episodes.
Of their bad offensive line play.
It's been great.
All right, what else?
Flying fifth. I'm an idiot.
Wait, finish chewing and then say it.
No, I can't. Clearly, fried fish.
Fried fish.
I mean, fried fish. How about that, bitch? I mean, fried fish.
Are you eating fried fish?
Yep, I mean, fried fish. What the fuck is going on?
You're eating fried fish.
I mean, what's this, bitch?
Stop.
Oh, my God.
Just stop. That is the cold open right there.
What am I doing?
I think we just found our cold open.
I mean, black fish, bitch.
Okay, I just put it all out of my mouth. I mean, I was eating fried fish. There was some good fish. But I was eating it. No, I'm not. I had to spit it out just because... God damn it, that was some fried fish.
Do you realize how fast you were going, sir?
Yes, I do. And there is an explanation for that. First of all, let me start off by saying I'm
a little more hammered than I thought I was. Oh, all right.
That was a good episode.
God. I need to crank out one of those again in the offseason.
Well, remember back, even when I joined in 2012, I mean, y'all used to have a decent number.
Yeah, we've gotten
Y'all haven't had a decent number in forever.
Yeah.
We're getting, yeah.
getting older.
I need to bring it back.
The original premise of the show was, like,
yeah, get hammered and talk about the
get
Saints.
As drunk as you can and talk about the Saints, and it was all about drinking and being the Saints. And then, I don't know, over the course of time, we started to take ourselves a little more seriously, maybe. Nah, well, it's not that.
You've got old.
Yeah, we just got old.
Can't handle our liquor as much. Got to work in the morning.
I mean, that's it. If we, you know, in the off season, if we were to record on like a Friday or a Saturday night, whoo, boy.
Yeah.
Well, we might have to do that once.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Well, especially if we get the UK Saints podcast to join us and we do like a crossover show.
Right, but for us, it's going to have to be at like noon.
I am not a stranger to day drinking.
I'm not either. Not either.
All right. Any final thoughts there, gentlemen?
Tiger Woods came back and played last week and made the cut. Finished in the top 25.
I mean, that's sad, huh?
How's that sad? It's his first competitive round in over a year, and he finished in the top 25.
From where he was to what he is, you know,
we're gonna do this
that's
again.
Sad.
But the old Tiger's not coming back, not right away. The first competitive round in a year.
Not right away.
Finishing the top 25 is a pretty good damn finish.
It's just sad how much you have lowered the bar. You know? Look, he made the cut! Woohoo!
Why not talk about the guys who are...
Yeah, the other guys.
The right to be talked about. I mean...
Because nobody cares about them. They don't move the needle.
Yeah, 24 people ahead of him.
And that's then that shows that you must not be a real golf fan. You're just a Tiger fan.
Of course.
Because like, if you were a golf fan, you would be celebrating, you know, Rory McIlroy or whoever the other golfer.
Rory played in Dubai Abu Dhabi this last week, and he finished second. He finished second.
Right. So who beat him?
Hao Tong Li.
Right. How come the if I were these guys, I'd be pissed off. Like, dude, Tiger, you had your time. You were in the sun.
Remember, the first and only reality of the Sith. There can only be two. And you are no longer my apprentice. You have been replaced.
Well, here's
like, I'm sitting here earning my right to be the guy, and just because you fucking actually like can hit the ball, here we go. It's Tiger Week.
Well, here's why they're not pissed off is because of Tiger Woods. The purses have, you know, the winner's share in 1996 was like $200,000. Now the winner of every tournament gets over $1 million.
Okay, so let me have my $2 million and quit talking about that asshole.
Okay, well. All the guys seem to be excited.
By the way,
brings more excitement. It brings more casual eyeballs.
I mean, again, but he's not.
Otherwise,
but it
doesn't. Me and a bunch of golf nerds watching.
But here's the thing: it doesn't anymore.
It doesn't bring
Tiger Woods making the cut on Saturday doesn't bring the casual.
It brings eyeballs. Yes, it does. Bullshit, it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, then that's sad.
People want to see what Tiger's going to do.
Which is
People, it's watching a, you know, a very famous player out there, you know, seeing the celebrity. But they're not watching him. Back in the day, they used to watch him because, man, what's Tiger going to do? He's gonna drive it 500 yards. He's going to make a hole-in-one on a par five. You know, he's a bad motherfucker.
Well, that's not what they do today.
I mean, today, that's Tiger Woods. That's nice. Boy, he was great back in the day. You know, and yeah, he's a celebrity. He's a name.
He's also arguably Jack's, I guess, number one, but Tiger's two, the greatest of all time. The ratings were up 38% compared to last year for this weekend.
All right. To that end, I will say, you know, to be fair, if I was the other guy and Tiger's here, I'd be like, maybe not, because honestly, if I were Tiger and this was going on, I'd be like, Jason, like you said, like, if it wasn't for me, motherfucker, none of you would be...
Everybody's talked about the quote-unquote made Tiger Cat.
You know, like, he does deserve a certain respect for what he accomplished in his career.
Right, but he won't ever be competitive again.
Right, I think he will be. And I think what Jason...
Jason, you've been saying this for 5 years.
I'm sitting here trying to help you.
He's actually...
Jason, you're an idiot.
Okay, look, when Tiger Woods wins the tournament this year, you're gonna owe me a second steak.
How about our majors? I thought you said he's gonna win a major. You had said he's gonna win a major again.
God damn it, Jason.
Before when?
Why do you have to be so unrealistic?
Before his career was over, yeah, I said he would win a major.
You're so even-headed about everything else in life, and then when it comes
irrational. You said it. You said it earlier. You said you're an idiot. I'm an asshole, and Jason just—he don't give a fuck. He's stupid. I mean, Tiger is 42. How old was Jack when he won the Masters?
46.
46. Okay, so he has 4 years.
He only hit he couldn't drive the ball straight this week. That was his downfall.
He hit
eight fairways all week, and yet he still finished top 25.
He's slicing like me.
He's slicing and dicing like pretty.
He is, except he's able to recover, unlike you, who just like, fuck it. Missed the pipe.
All right, so that's that one. Damon, did you have anything final thought-y-wise?
No, I'm not sure that was final thought anyway.
I know, I didn't mean for it to be a final thought.
I said final thoughts.
Yeah.
Well, in that case, folks, we hope you enjoy the... Oh, shit, we didn't even go into bold predictions.
We'll just have to get that another time.
We'll have to do that next week, because we are out of time. That's right, it's the show, and it's over. That's all we got for you this week. We're going to thank all our listeners for downloading each week, telling all your friends about the Doom Patrol Podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Doom Patrol PCast. If you can't listen to us on your podcast app, there's probably a problem with iTunes. But every other app should be working just fine. And then there is the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Doom Patrol Podcast.
Dadgum.
Are you still having problems with iTunes, Jason?
It works on my phone. It doesn't work on my iTunes on my computer. It doesn't update there. Oh. But I'm getting it on my phone.
All right. Anyway, say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, boogie donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.